biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
Let's go to Philadelphia, and now joining us, he's going to be the new morning host on Sports Radio 94 WIP, and that's our pal Joe DeCameras. We'll talk a little Eagles and Chiefs coming up for Super Bowl 57. First off, Joe, I know I've talked to you behind the scenes, but I want to say it on the air. Congratulations on the new gig, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Zach. I appreciate it. Appreciate the kind words. Looking forward to the Super Bowl, and there's a lot going on here for sure.
If I were to would have told you before the start of the season that the Eagles would have been in the Super Bowl, what would you have told me?
Wow. I would have told you that it's unlikely. I would not have told you that it's a complete impossibility, because it was obvious before the season that the Eagles had made a number of additions that were likely to pretty dramatically improve the club, A.J. Brown being a really big one. Hassan Reddick has worked out better than expected. So, you know, certainly there's been more done here than I would have thought. But we knew they were going to be pretty good. I mean, they got James Bradbury, so you knew you had two good cornerbacks. The big mystery, of course, was Jalen Hurts and whether he could take a leap forward. He took about six leaps forward, and he has made an incredible difference.
And you looked at the NFC before the start of the year. Like, we were talking about the Rams, the Bucks, the Packers, and then who would be that fourth team, and could that fourth team challenge the other three? And all those three teams that I just mentioned, Joe, really opened it up, because all three were duds.
Well, they were. And it really is one of the weaker conferences, candidly, I think we've ever seen. I mean, that did help the Eagles. I don't know in the end that it really mattered, because even if there were three or four great teams, the Eagles very well still could have found their way to the Super Bowl. But I think the Eagles are a great football team. And Zach will tell you this. I think they're the best team in the NFL since the 2013 Seahawks. I really believe that. If you go through the last decade, I feel very confident the Eagles are the best team since the 2013 Seahawks, and maybe better than that squad. But it was made easier. The path was certainly made easier by a really easy conference. And by the way, as exhibited by, I mean, the Giants at the end were frauds. Not that they weren't okay, but they weren't great. Minnesota clearly wasn't great. And so it really came down to the Eagles and San Fran, which I think the Eagles were going to win anyway. But once San Fran had their quarterback situation in the conference title game, I mean, that was pretty much a wrap. The Eagles really cruised their way to the Super Bowl.
Joe DeCamera here with us. So I had Brandon Graham on back in September, and he said this team was better than the team that won Super Bowl 52. I saw Fletcher Cox today said that the 2017 team would have defeat this team. What makes you think, just wondering, that this team is better than the team that won the Super Bowl a few years ago?
You know, I think they just have more good players, more great players. I mean, ultimately, in the end, Jalen is more of a sure bet than Nick Foles was. Now, look, Foles on the biggest stage, the Super Bowl, and the next biggest stage, the NFC Championship game, played two of the greatest games of his life. And you really can't play better than he did in those two games. Prior to that, he was shaky for a couple games. Jalen had one game this year that I would call down, one. I mean, and that's not really counting the last game of the season when they were kind of playing hide and seek with him, because they knew they were going to win the game against the Giants backups, and then they wanted him to go full bore. This team, look, both teams incredibly strong offensive and defensive line. I think the 17 team had a slightly better running game with a little bit more of a diversified backfield. But, man, this team is better at wide receiver. They're better at cornerback. They're not as good at safety. They're better at linebacker. Both teams really good, but I think this one's better.
Talking to Joe DeCamera, when you go into this game coming up next week, the Andy Reid feel in Philadelphia, I know he hasn't coached there since 2012, but you know the importance that he had in Philadelphia sports. Just what's kind of been the conversation from this past week as you start to think about the game, and obviously the storyline that no one could get past is the Andy Reid one.
Yeah, I mean, it's complicated, and it's something that I would tell you, Zach, I think people are very entrenched in what they feel. And what I mean by that is you really have three categories. You have love Andy Reid, you have like Andy Reid, and you have can't stand Andy Reid. Can't stand Andy Reid is probably about 15% based on conversations from past years, maybe 20%. He certainly had his faults as a coach that tripped Eagles up in some big spots. But there is, for the most part, tremendous appreciation for what Andy Reid brought to Philly. And there are a number of Eagles fans that do love him. And it's created an odd dynamic entering this game because while you do get some people to say, man, I can't wait to beat Andy Reid, I think there's a lot of people that feel, I don't want to say uncomfortable about the Eagles playing Andy Reid. I'll just say this. There's a lot of people that I don't believe will derive joy out of seeing Andy Reid lose.
Interesting.
And that's obviously the objective for Eagles fans, is to see the Eagles win and Andy Reid lose. But there's a lot of people that won't get pleasure out of that the way people enjoy seeing Bill Belichick lose in 2017.
Here's the thing with Andy. I also think you'll get some people that will say, oh, well, he never won the Super Bowl in Philadelphia. But then I think a lot of those people get quiet if that's their take because the Eagles eventually won one. Like, if the Eagles did not win Super Bowl 52, I think there would be a little bit more animosity, Joe DeCamera, leading up to this one, because if they would lose to him, it was like, well, he never brought a championship here, and then he robbed us of winning a first title.
Well, I agree with that. And I also think, by the way, Andy Reid having won one in Kansas City also mutes the conversation to a large extent when people say, you know, he's just not that good a coach.
Yeah.
Anybody that says that is an idiot. An idiot. And there are people that still say that, so there are idiots in the world. I mean, the guy's got the fifth most wins in the history of the National Football League. He's going to finish third or fourth all time. You know, he's been to a bazillion conference title games in both conferences. I think it's like eight or something. So he's an amazing football coach, and he's also a good guy. I mean, most people around here know he's a good guy. So, yes, I agree with your assessment, though. The Eagles winning certainly took some of the edge off of it in that regard.
And I also will say this, too, Joe DeCamera. Howie Roseman, how many times has that guy pretty much been fired by the fan base? And whenever people start to doubt him, and they had many reasons to doubt him, he finds a way to prevail.
Well, he does. But let me circle back to Andy for one more thing, and then I'll address Howie
sure.
more specifically. You know, there's an interesting tie-in between Howie and Andy that most people around here know, which is that Howie came up through Andy, through Joe Banner, who used to be the team president, at a time when the Eagles had to have a lot of success, even though it wasn't a championship success. And in many ways, Andy built the blueprint for the modern-day Eagles, which is heavy investment in the offensive and defensive line through the draft and through, at times, free agency. And that's how the Eagles won in 2017. That's how they won. That's how they're going to win next week. And so there's an appreciation there. Look, Howie's a remarkable GM. I think he has a chance to find his way in the future to the steps of Canton, Ohio. I really believe that. Now, obviously, he's got to win another title for that to happen. Maybe he's got to win two more titles for that to happen. But I think the Eagles have been incredibly fortunate to have him. He's a great GM. You're going to have your dips, and 2020 was a big dip. I mean, the Eagles stunk, and Howie was very culpable. Not the most culpable. Carson was the most culpable by far. But Howie had a bad couple years there, and it led to a really bad 2020. But the reality is Howie Roseman is an exceptional general manager.
I never thought about it until you just said it, because we usually just think of coaches and players, right, for the Hall of Fame. But if Howie Roseman wins this Super Bowl, you could make a case that maybe he's already Hall of Famer, but he's a lock to get in the Hall of Fame if you bring two Super Bowl championships to Philly?
Hey, look, I don't think lock. I don't, because I'd have to look at the history to see how many. I don't know if the Broncos GM from the late 90s got in. I don't even remember who it was. Obviously, Shanahan was the coach. So I don't know about that. What makes this one pretty unique, though, Zach, really unique, if the Eagles win, this will be the closest for an organization to have two titles with a different coach and a different quarterback.
Yeah.
Since the Raiders of 77 became the Raiders of 80, with a different coach and a different quarterback. This is rare, and this will be the only time in the history of the salary cap era that will have happened.
You look at Sirianni. I remember last year, Joe DeCamera, when he had that flower analogy, I go, oh, he's toast. He just doesn't get Philadelphia. And now a year later, I know they improved down the stretch. I don't think you have a coach that understands Philadelphia better than him. He practically seems like he's from Philly. What really changed with Sirianni? I know it helps when you get better players, but I totally disagree with what Julian Love said the other day. This guy has turned into a really damn good coach.
Well, no question. Look, Love's comment was preposterous. I mean, obviously, he's, you know, Sirianni's propped up by good talent, but he is, I believe, a legitimately good coach. I don't think you could have done a better job than he's done this year. I mean, I don't. When he wasn't a finalist for Coach of the Year, which is just absurd, you know, my rhetorical question I ask people is, what did he have to do better? I mean, his team went 14-3. You know, he lost two games when his starting quarterback got injured. And I guess you can say, well, Shanahan won without his starting quarterback. But what people nationally, I guess, somehow missed, the Eagles didn't have to win those games. I mean, they were specifically not going all out because they knew they had three games to win one game. I mean, they needed to win one game for home field advantage. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, but it's just true. So, you know, and I'm not saying they didn't try with their effort, but even when they, you know, brought Jalen back, they were still careful to make sure he stayed less injured. I mean, they were careful because they knew they were going to be playing in this thing called the Super Bowl in February. So Sirianni played it right the whole time. They could have gone 16-1, and I guess he then would have been the coach of the year. But Sirianni, I think, is a great coach. I think he's got a really good staff. You know what? He definitely gets the players to play very hard. And one thing I think he's really good at also is scheme. I mean, the bottom line is, let's be real, coaching comes down to leading men. It comes down to putting your players in the best position to succeed on both sides of the ball with good scheme. It comes down to hiring the right coaches. You know, and then there's a little bit in there that, you know, you hope that he messages things to the public well, which he has improved at. So I think he's a terrific coach.
Well, here's also the other thing, Joe DeCamera. You hear the way the players talk about him. Like in my conversations I've had with Hassan Reddick, he raves about Sirianni. But more so, I know that what you could say about missing the two games without Jalen Hurts, they lost them both and all that. Who thought Jalen Hurts was going to be an MVP type of quarterback before the start of the season? Like, even if you're optimistic about Jalen Hurts, no one thought it could be an MVP type of quarterback before the year. Like, Sirianni has to get some credit for that.
Well, I totally agree. I mean, look, the reality is the player gets the most credit because he's the player.
Yeah.
But the coaching staff has to get credit. I mean, you just do not get a leap of this magnitude without good coaching. And that's a combination of Sirianni and, obviously, you know, Steichen, the offense coordinator, and Brian Johnson, the quarterback's coach. They all have a hand in it. And you know, the other thing, Zach, is Sirianni leaned in. And I'm not saying this was the most difficult decision, but not every coach would have done this. He leaned in to the full Jalen Hurts experience. He was not afraid to have his quarterback absorb a lot of hits and use his legs and threat. See, here's the ultimate key to the Eagles' offense. It's not that Jalen Hurts runs. It's that Jalen Hurts threatens to run. And because he threatens to run, just watch this in the Super Bowl. Because he is a threat to run, because of how good he is when he runs, it opens up every aspect of the Eagles' offense, including the running game when Jalen Hurts then hands the ball to Miles Sanders. Because you have these guys on the outside edge, outside linebackers and defensive ends, they don't know, am I supposed to crash down to Miles Sanders? Am I supposed to wait? Am I going for Jalen Hurts? Is he going to be a quarterback as a passer? Is he going to come around the edge as a runner? These guys are frozen. And that is that, and the offensive line's greatness is the preeminent element of this offense that helps it go.
What's the latest with the shoulder? Just wondering with Jalen Hurts. I know it's been over a month ago, but it's still a topic of conversation.
Look, we thought he was mostly out of the danger zone because he threw well, even when the shoulder wasn't great. And being over a month removed, it seemed like he'd be able to take hits, which he did last week. What was a little strange last game is he was more inaccurate than he had probably been at any point this season. So the question is that a byproduct of the shoulder? Or was it just, you know, four or five passes that, for whatever reason, just kind of got away from him? Impossible for me to know the answer. I will just tell you this. I don't think the Eagles should worry too much about the shoulder. I don't think Eagles fans should. It's been a while. I think you'll get the full Jalen Hurts go.
All right, when you get to this game, I know we still have a more than a week until we get to see this game played. I'm leaning Eagles right now. I think they're the better team. Clearly, Mahomes is always a threat. We'll see how much healthier he is off the ankle. We saw what he did on practically one ankle against the Bengals. But what type of game do you kind of see playing out next Sunday?
I see a game when the Eagles roster beats the roster of the Chiefs. And what I mean by that is, look, I think the two quarterbacks are close. I think Mahomes is better. I think Mahomes is the best player of football. But I think when you take the other 52 players on both teams, you have a dramatic advantage to the Eagles. I'm telling you, Zach, I think the Eagles are going to win by 10 to 14 points. I think they're going to win pretty comfortably. Here's the analogy I'll give you. When the Eagles and Patriots played in 2017, which was February 2018 for the Super Bowl, I remember before the game, ESPN did a big study of the 106 players eligible to play in the game. They literally ranked them from 1 to 106. They had Brady ranked 1. They had Rob Gronkowski ranked 2. And then they had a ton of Eagles. I believe it was 14 out of the top 20 players were Eagles. I believe this game is really similar in that regard. Mahomes is amazing and deserves to be ranked 1. Kelsey's a great player for the Chiefs. But the Eagles are going to have a ton of the top 20, 25 players in this game. The Eagles roster is going to win the game. And I'll add this, because someone asked me earlier in the week, what is the biggest advantage the Eagles have? The biggest advantage the Eagles have is Patrick Mahomes' contract. See, that's the difference. The quarterbacks are similar. Now, Mahomes is better, but they're, you know, Hurts is great. One guy makes about $50 million, one guy makes $1 million. That's how you have James Bradbury. That's how you have A.J. Brown. That's how you have Hassan Reddick. The Eagles team is better than the Chiefs team because the Eagles star quarterback makes about 1/50th of what the Chiefs star quarterback makes.
What do you say?
That's why the Eagles will win the football game.
What do you say to people that still doubt how good Hurts is and are maybe saying this is just a one-year run?
The only thing they have a chance to be right about is if Jalen Hurts has a style that leads to injury, that leads to diminished play. And that is possible in the years to come. But other than that, here's what people are missing, Zach. I'm telling you, I know what they're missing. There are people that think what Jalen Hurts and the Eagles do is a gimmick. It's college football style. It's not a pro-style offense. What people don't realize is it's not a gimmick. It's where the NFL is at for many teams right now. It's where the NFL will be for the vast majority of the teams very soon, and it's not going anywhere. And Jalen Hurts is in many ways, you know, the quarterback of the future, if you will. And I'll frame it this way, Zach, and I feel really confident in the statement I'm about to make. Nobody has ever played the style of football that Jalen Hurts plays at quarterback better than Jalen Hurts in the history of football. And what I mean by that is I'm talking about a quarterback, read option, zone read, ride into the side, whatever you want to call it, RPOs, all that stuff. When it's that with the threat of the run by the quarterback, the handoff to the running back, or to keep the ball to drop back and pass. See, Lamar Jackson's a bad passer, and there are plenty of quarterbacks that are bad runners. Jalen Hurts is the perfect combination of both. Now, can he improve? Certainly. Do I think Steve Young could have done this 25 years ago if Steve Young was trained in this? Absolutely. But what people don't recognize about Hurts that we in Philly know, he's been training at this for about 10 or 12 years. This isn't like Jalen Hurts just stumbled upon how to do this. Jalen Hurts did this in college. Jalen Hurts did this in high school. So when people say, well, Peyton Manning's great at reading defenses, and he was. He was exceptional at it, pre-snap and post-snap. What people don't realize when they think Hurts is gimmicky, Hurts has been trained to read the outside edge rusher for the last 10 years. He knows what that guy's going to do and where he's going to go. He makes the decision after the snap whether it's going to be a run or a pass based on where that guy's standing, and he's become a much better thrower. Nobody has ever done what Hurts does better than Hurts.
Joe, we appreciate the time. Enjoy next week. Thanks so much.
Have a great night, Zach.
The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.